Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Bo! Where's Bo? What's he doing?
So, our blended family puppy is back. And isn't it amazing that we've actually got a blended family puppy? Obviously, her name is Beau. I'm not sure I've spoken about her on the podcast before, but Isla's mum, Laura, got her and Indy, her other sister, a little puppy, and they've got a Cavapoo. So basically, when Isla comes to us, Beau comes to us now. So I've inherited a puppy. I'm a dog owner.
You've got a part-time puppy. I think that's the best, like, that is the best situation.
It's like a part-time baby. Imagine if you could just give it back.
Just have it half of the time. I mean, wow.
And she's so sweet. Obviously, she's only about 15 weeks old, so it is like having a new baby in the house. Like, you come down, but if you can hear her crying, it's because I've left her in the kitchen. And there's obviously, like, turds everywhere, and she's weed not
oh
on her
my
puppy
God.
Pants because it's like she doesn't know what she's doing.
No,
the kids love her, and I love dogs, so it is sweet. It's nice.
Oh, it's so sweet. I remember, yeah, I'm fine. I was just gonna say, I remember when I moved in with James, I said I wouldn't move in with him unless we got a dog. And just before I moved in with him, I got the dog, and so it was at my parents' house, and my dad slept on the kitchen floor with it for 2 weeks because he couldn't bear the crying.
Such a legend.
Oh, he's actually like such a softie. So, and that's, and they now have Rufus living at their house, and Rufus goes to doggy daycare. Yeah, Rufus goes to doggy daycare. He has a blow dry once a week.
In the dog form.
Yes. Oh gosh.
Amazing.
So yeah, how are you anyway, apart from being a part-time puppy parent?
Yeah, do you know what? I've actually had a really amazing moment happened last night. And if you're a step parent listening, you're going to understand how the relationship between yourself and your stepchild's parent, you know, natural parent, is sometimes quite strained. And obviously, myself and Dozza and Laura, who is Dozza's ex, Isla's mum, have been through some really tricky times in the past. And there's been court cases and there's been custody battles, and it's been really intense for everybody. And it went on for a very long time. Throughout that, I've obviously tried to remain very amicable with Laura. I wasn't anything to do with their breakup or anything like that. And for Isla's sake, you know, it doesn't matter what was really going on between Laura and Dozza. Like, I just wanted it to be nice for Isla. And I've worked really hard at it, like setting up WhatsApp groups and, you know, asking her to come to meetings and coffee and things like that. Last night she came round to drop Isla off. She had her other daughter, Indy, with her. And she came out and I was like, let's have a glass of wine. She ended up staying for 2.5 hours. I cooked dinner for Indy. All the kids ate together. We were playing in the garden. It just was a real, like, progression. I felt really proud of us.
You felt like this is it, this is what we've been working for, like working towards, and now we're here.
We're a blended family. We only want what's best for her daughter, and I'm raising her daughter, and I understand that might be really hard for her when she gets into bed at night. I don't know, but I just try and think about all of the parties involved. And I think, you know, again, it's tricky for Dawes. I saw him kind of wandering off and like spending a lot of time in the garden, but actually it was a really wonderful scene, and I'm really glad. So like, if you are a step parent listening and you're like, I don't think I'll ever get there, I thought that, and we really have. So have
fun. And you are, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I know, like, just from when we first met to now, it's like completely different. And it's so nice to hear that, really.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Really nice.
And you've got the puppy as well. We pass the love back and forth between the houses. It's great.
Exactly. Maybe it's the puppy. Maybe that's what everyone needs to do, is just get a puppy. Yes. They do say that dogs reduce your stress, don't yes. they? Like your stress levels and stuff.
And obviously they send puppies into old people's home and people that need therapy, physical therapy, because like you said, they reduce stress and they induce like the happy hormone.
Yeah, they do. I mean, oh my God, Bo is so cute.
She's trying to get in, actually. Oh. Just scrabbling at the door. Leave me alone. Oh. You've got the builders in tomorrow. That's not a euphemism.
I have. I mean, I'd love to say that we won't be sleeping on the bottom bunk anymore, but we are, but just in a different room. So that, yeah, the builders are starting on our room tomorrow. Everything's coming out. I've literally just had to pack up my whole wardrobe, everything, absolutely everything out of our bedroom. Wow. So yeah, it's exciting, but yeah, I mean, I'm going to be sleeping in Axel's bedroom on the bottom bunk now. You know, change of scenery. It's like a mini break.
Imagine when you actually have to leave his bedroom. He's going to be devastated. Come on, Mum, you're my roomie. Get in the bottom bunk. Get your PJs on.
I was thinking this. I was like, oh, my God. Like, we've been so strict with, like, not having him sleep, you know, sleep with us and sleeping in his own bed for all these years. And right before we start school, we've been sharing a room with him.
No.
I mean... No. Anyway,
Good luck. We should get into the chat because it was a really, really special one that we recorded earlier on in the week. And this is a lady that I've actually known her for a very long time because in a very weird twist of fate, I ended up, it's quite a long story, but I'll keep it short. I ended up going on holiday, a breakup holiday with one of my exes to a place called Sitges, which was in Spain.
And my agent was there,
right? And my agent said, you've just broken up with your boyfriend. You're crying your eyes out. Get on a plane, come to Sitges. I'm on a shoot here with a girl that is in Towie. And I was like, okay, great. Yeah. Towie, it had literally just launched. And when I rocked up, it was Lydia Bright that was there, fresh-faced, 18 years old, one of the nicest humans you will ever meet. And we bonded for 3 nights where I was like doing shots and crying into my sleeve. So that's kind of how I know the family. And obviously I know Debbie because of that. So and Debbie is Debbie Bright is an amazing foster
parent. Yeah, foster parent.
Let me do that again. Hold on. And obviously her mum, Debbie Bright, is an incredible foster parent.
She is. I think she's fostered over like 200 children or something, which, I mean, just blows my mind.
Oh, it's incredible. You meet her and you think, wow, what a woman, like a real force, all the hair, the red lips. And then you peel away, it's like an onion, and she's the most beautiful soul. How giving do you have to be to take that many children through your home and look after them?
I know, and seriously, how much energy must you have to have?
Yeah.
There's me and you come on here on a Thursday evening and we're like, oh, I'm so tired. And, you know, we've got two or three in the house. And what did Debbie say? Sometimes she has eight
or nine,
in the house.
She said.
Oh my goodness. But yeah.
It was great, wasn't it? Because it was such an insight into the whole fostering and adopting world, which we didn't know anything about. So, yeah, I mean, we've told you who it is. But who are we chatting today, G?
Today, in case you haven't picked up on it, we are chatting to Debbie Bright.
So here we are, yet another podcast in lockdown. But this one has got a really special moment attached to it because Georgia and I really wanted to sit down and have a conversation with this lady, this wonderful woman, for a very, very, very long time. We finally got her. A bit of background on Debbie. Last year, she got married to her long-term partner of 40 years. She is mum to four, Georgia, Lydia, Freddie and Romana. She has fostered, around 200 children over 27 years, and she's also one of the most lovely women you will ever meet.
Oh, it's that Debbie is so Bryant. Lovely. What a lovely introduction. Can you do that all over again?
Anything you want to add this time? Beautiful.
that was lovely, actually. Oh, that's me down to a T, and I'm actually also fostering three children at the moment. So I've got a 16-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 3-month-old baby.
Oh my goodness.
and we forgot the most important thing of the whole year. Yeah. I've actually become a grandmother.
I'm
a grandmother to darling Loretta, who was born the 21st of February. She's the light of all our lives.
How is Lydia getting on, and how is she as a mum? She looks like she's taken to it like a duck to water.
Well, you know, you've got to remember, and this I say to everyone, Lydia's been a foster sibling, a sister to over 200 children. A lot of those children would have been babies. So I started fostering, you know, when Lydia was a toddler. So, you know, she was just about running around. Yeah. And so she doesn't know any different, but, you know, she didn't really play with dolls, she played with real dolls, which were babies. So yeah. She started changing nappies from the minute she could, really. So to her, it's come very, very naturally because she's been surrounded with babies. I know that because when I see, her children, her friends that have had children of the same age, because there's a big crowd of them now that have all got babies the same times, as I did when I had my first. They're like, oh, how do I do this? Lydia just knows absolutely everything because she's been brought up with a house full of babies.
Yeah. And so when you started fostering, you already had Georgia and Lydia. So what made you want to start fostering when really, I mean, like, I don't think I could cope with any more babies or kids in the house, and I've got two now. So I can't imagine, like, why did you decide you wanted to do it?
Well, I was a real career girl, and I worked for Gloria Vanderbilt, which were the first designer jeans of their time many, many years ago, before you was even probably born. And I fell pregnant with Georgia when I was 29. So I had a good career, you know, and I was sort of travelling all over the place. And I fell pregnant with Lydia when Georgia was 3 months old. So I had two, like under two, really. So I wasn't in any rush to get back to work. So I thought, it's almost like having twins, but there are slightly different stages. And I thought, I'm just going to have a little bit of time off of work. So that was my plan. So, you know, there's a big, big saying, you know, man makes plans and God laughs at them. And I actually didn't really know anything about fostering. So the only thing I knew about fostering was quite negative because my mum and my uncle were sent off to Wales, during the war, and they had quite a bad experience of being with foster parents. So other than that, I didn't really know much more. And I was in a restaurant and sitting there. I had Georgia and Lydia in the high chairs either side of me with my friend. And there was this girl sitting next to me with six children, all different ages, and she was struggling a bit. And one of the kids wanted to go to the toilet, and she just went, would you mind like just watching those? I said, no, go on, you go. I mean, I talk to everyone anyway, wherever I go. which really annoys my kids, because wherever we go, you know, I have to spend an hour talking to people. And she said, oh, no, they're not all mine. She went, I foster some of them. And I went, oh, I'd quite like to do that. Don't even know her name. Vaguely remember what she looks like. She's got to remember this is 27 years ago. Wow. And she said, oh, give me your number. I'll pass it on to social services. I went, oh, okay then. So I gave her my number, come home. And I said, oh, I met this really lovely girl to Dave, like my husband now, in the restaurant. And I said, while I'm off work, I said, because I'm going to have a few, you know, years off with the kids. I want to be with them until they go back to school, until they start school, not go back. And I said, you know, I was talking about foster. He said, well, I'm not doing that. And, you know, then, you know, where's the trousers in this house? Because we did do it. And, he really, really loves it. I mean, actually, as he's got older, he's loved it even more. But, you know, he was very, oh, no, you know, we've got our own children. It's enough with two. And, now there's, well, how many children? Well, if you count my four, which, you know, I know that they're in their 20s, but, you know, they're still kids, aren't they? And want their mum for everything. There's normally like eight or nine kids
oh my
in the
goodness.
House. So, children, Lydia, didn't actually grow up like whatever you would call a normal childhood. They grew up very, very different to all their friends. And as a mother, you know, I sort of beat myself up quite a lot on my fostering journey. I used to think, oh my God, you know, because a lot of these children do come with lots of challenges, and you think, yeah. Oh, are my children being pushed out because, you know, these are very demanding, and I've got meetings and I've got called up at the school, and sometimes I even cried myself to sleep thinking that, you know, am I trying to save everyone else's child and my children are going to be damaged by it? And it wasn't till, you know, my children were able to verbally say how they feel. And I'm not saying it's all been rose-tinted glasses. You know, there's been many tears along our journey. But they all say now, you know, at their ages where they can express themselves, that they had a wonderful childhood and they really wouldn't have wanted it any different.
So Debbie, let me just cast your mind back to the first child that you adopted, that you fostered. Yeah. What was that moment like when I don't know if it was a baby or, you know, someone that was slightly older, but what was that moment when that child entered the house? What was it like?
Well, it was a baby, and it was a baby girl, and she was coming straight from hospital. And we just were so excited. I mean, when you say, I don't know if I can remember it, I remember it like giving birth to one of mine, that we was running around the house and running up and down. The two girls were really excited because I said, we've got a baby girl coming to live with us for a little while. And, you know, we flung open the door to the social worker and all was fighting over who's going to hold her. And, you know, the strange thing about that question is she will now be 27 and she doesn't even know who I am, does she?
No, really
strange thing about that. Yeah. So there's lots of children. You have to remember fostering is, you know, part of their journey. And you're just a chapter in their little book, you know. A lot of the time when they move on, you do either lose touch or, you know, it just fizzles out, you know.
I was going to ask that. I was going to say, can they, you know, request to find out, you know, the families that they've been to throughout the years when they get older? They can.
They can. They can go back and look at all their files and read all the anything that there needs to be read. So they're quite, I mean, it's very, very open. But when they're a certain age, obviously, and they want to do that, you normally find children who have been mainly adopted will do that. But children who are fostered normally don't, because sometimes they wouldn't have even known that they've been fostered, especially if they were a baby and then they've gone back to the family or a family member. It might not have even been, you know, that information might not have been passed on.
So is a foster child placed in a home because their parents can't look after them at that point? And there's obviously a high chance, or what is the chance that they'll go back to their real parents?
Well, children come into foster care for all kinds of reasons. I mean, there's such a wide spectrum, but I would say the high majority of children come into care through drug and alcohol abuse. But then there is mental health issues, there's family breakdowns, there's homelessness, there's poverty, there's all kinds of reasons a child would come in for prison sentences. It's such a wide range. It depends on so many things. I mean, that's such a hard question to answer because, you know, social services and the courts will try their utmost. I think a lot of the time, you know, social services get a bad reputation, but they will try absolute everything to keep the child within the family. So to keep them within the family or a family member, and it's only really when they've exhausted and all the assessments come back extremely negative that the courts will award that the child goes up for adoption. But it, you know, there would be a high amount of work done before it gets to that stage, unless the mother actually says no, they don't want the child, and they want the child placed for adoption. Or another one is abandonment. So if a baby's abandoned, and then there is no tracing back to where the family is.
And are you told when a child is placed within the home, your home, how long they're going to be there for, or do you have to be really flexible?
Really flexible. I mean, if there's one quality a foster carer must have, that's flexibility. So you will be given a profile of the child, you know, why they're coming into care and what information the social worker knows. But a lot of the time, you know, information comes at a later date. So, you know, you'll be given a certain amount of information, but not everything. I mean, you have to be really, really flexible. They can't tell you. So because a lot of the time when the child's placed, not even they know, you know, it may be, I'll give you an example. It may be that the child's placed with you while a mother goes into rehab.
Right.
And then if the mother comes out of rehab, the plan would be to then place the child back with the mother, but then she may reuse again. So the plans go out the window because rehab hasn't worked, you know. So it could be that, or it could be they get a prison sentence and they come out and they are planning to put the child back with the mother, and then they reoffend, so the mother gets another sentence.
Right.
So it could be, you know, like I said, we all make plans, but normally within fostering, nothing ever goes to plan.
Yeah, and how much notice do you get given that, you know, you might need to sort of prepare for another child coming into your house?
Not long. So normally, you know, a few hours, couple of hours.
Wow, really?
If you're on out of hours, which means emergencies, it could be, you know, within an hour. So not long
at all.
I really want to try and understand, because it's such a fascinating subject that I really don't know huge amounts about. But how do you feel when you meet a child that is in need like that for the first time? Like, you obviously love your children and you've given birth to those children. So how is it? Is it the same feeling? What is that feeling like?
Well, I probably am the most honest person in the whole universe, is, the feelings are very, very different. So there'd be some children that come through your home and you instantly, like, love them and want to protect them, and that overwhelming sense of love hits you. And then others, it may take time, you know, for you to build up. And others, you may, you know, especially if it's teenagers, you just may not get that connection. So it's like humans, like we're all humans. I'm sure in life that you've met lots of people and you just fall in love with them straight away. And you think, oh, they're really lovely. Like, I know I've connected with them, and I know we're going to have a long friendship, or I know that I can go to them for something. And there might be others that you've known for years, but you don't really know them at all.
Mm. Yeah.
And when they leave the home as well, I guess you've got all of those emotions. If you know, there's a particular one of the children that you've made a real connection with, then they go. There must be a real sense of grief there.
I mean, Zoe, when one of my babies gets adopted or goes back to their, and I've had them for, you know, a significant time, so their first year of their life, you're just absolutely heartbroken. But, you know, I can't stand any social workers, and sorry to all you social workers if you're listening, but anyone who says to me, don't cry, because if I didn't cry, then I wouldn't be doing what I should be doing. Although you prepare yourself, I mean, look at me, I've been doing this for 27 years, you can never prepare yourself for that day when you actually let go. And also for me as a foster mum, I have to then also try and support my children through that, because obviously it's been their foster sibling for a year, hasn't it? So
yeah,
you having a sister for a year or a brother for a year, and then the next minute they're not there.
There you go. And have you ever been have you ever wanted to adopt one of the children, or have your children ever asked you, like, come on, can we adopt them, or is that just not an option?
No, we've always had discussions. When I say we all have, there's been a few that we've had discussions around, but you've got to remember, when I do these adoptions, I meet the adoptive parents.
Right.
And I've got four birth children. You know, some of these, if it's a man and a woman, a couple, you know, they may have been trying for like 10, 15 years to have a baby. And, you know, the thought of actually handing that baby, and they're brokenhearted, I know that baby's going to be loved so much. And, you know, you can see it. You can just see that the yearning that they have to hold that baby. And there is a lot of babies that I've had over the last, I'd say, sort of four, maybe even longer, 6 years. They've gone to same-sex couples. And that's wonderful because, you know, you hand them over and you also know that they wouldn't have had an opportunity, especially if it's males. I mean, women can have sperm donors, but men can't. So if it's a same-sex couple, a gay same-sex and male, and they come, you know, it's overwhelming to give them that child that you know that they're going to love forever and ever. And if I wasn't to do that, they would have probably a massive void in their life.
Yeah.
This is why I love babies so much, because they look at you and they've just got this unconditional love. You know, they are there from love, not for love. They come from this place of just, you know, they spend a year of their life with you, and then, you know, they've come from their birth mother, and then they go to an adopted family, and it's this innate want just to be loved. And that's why so much good in this world, because, you know, none of us are born with hate in us.
None of us are born
that we just want love.
And you know, and it's so important that you know, for me, it's so important when I have a baby that they're just loved so much. I mean, the love from this house, because there's so many of us in it, you know, it's just, the babies just get so much attention and love poured into them. And you can just see them just flourish into these beautiful little people. I mean, the problem that we have there, Zoe, if we could, you know, sort of change the subjects with babies, you know, everybody wants to adopt a baby.
Yeah.
But there are so many older children.
This is what I was just coming on to, actually.
Waiting for adoption. And that makes me very, very sad, you know, because there's an overwhelming need for adopters to think about adopting older children.
And so, I guess the older the children come to you, maybe the more problems they might come with and more behavioural issues. Is that right?
No, totally right. You know, there's a very old saying, isn't there? Give me a boy till he's seven and I'll give you the man. After seven, it's very hard to unlearn behaviours. You can do it, but it is difficult. So those who are going to adopt older children need to have support, reassurance, guidance, and determination that they're going to change a little person's life.
Yeah, I've had a sort of first-hand experience with it with my sister, who was very sadly diagnosed with premature ovarian failure when she was trying to have her first baby and very sadly ran out of eggs and was told she can't have children, basically. So her and her now ex-husband went through all of the process of looking at adopting, and actually at the end, my sister, I love my sister to death, but I was a bit disappointed because she said, oh, well, everyone wants to adopt babies, but, you know, and I'd only want to take a baby. And I think a lot of people have that view. Oh, you know, by the time they're 3 and 4, they come with so many issues. And people do say these sweeping statements about children.
Actually,
they're just going to write them off when they get to 3 or 4
exactly,
or 5.
Exactly.
It's really hard.
And I know some, I mean, I've been involved with some couples that have adopted older children and they've flourished, because every child needs that stability. You know, this is my forever home. This is my forever mum and dad. These are forever my two daddies. These are forever my mummies. These are forever my single mum or single dad. You know, we can't rule out single people adopting. Anyone can adopt, really. But, you know, you can't rule these children out because, you know, I've turned so many children around. You can't give up on them. And people do, you know, they do all want to adopt babies. But I think, you know, you have to really think, why would you want to adopt just a baby? Is it your needs? Are you fulfilling your needs? Or is it you fulfilling the child's needs? You know, but it's choices and it's strengths. And it depends if you've got the strength to do that and the determination and the courage, you know. And I've seen lots of older children get adopted and it's worked absolutely wonderfully.
So we'll be back right after this.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Now, let's pick up where we left off with our wonderful guest.
What criteria do you need to meet to be an adoptive, adopt a child or to foster a child? So I know from a few friends, they're actually single and they haven't met certain criteria. But obviously, I know that they would love to do it. So what is the criteria at the moment?
Well, the government have worked very hard on relaxing the adoption rules because at one point, I mean, don't forget where I've been doing this for so long, it was just almost impossible. That's when you had a lot of Brits going abroad, didn't you, to adopt children. Yeah. So they have really, really tried to, you know, relax the assessment process. It is intrusive, but then fostering assessment is intrusive. But, you know, it's all questions that do need to be asked. What criteria you need? I mean, for me, you know, you need to have stability. That's number one.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously, if you're in a rented house or, you know, that you could be thrown out of or your contract comes up, you know, you need the stability where you've got a home. You need the stability financially that you can support that child growing up. The stability of a very, very good family network and friends that can help you because, let's face it, none of us can bring up children alone. There's that very old saying that you must have all heard, it takes a community to save a child. So you need to be very involved in your community. You need, with fostering and adoption, spare bedrooms. So if you're going to adopt one child or a sibling group, you need to have the bedroom space. So they're really the criteria that I know about that are, you know, top of the agenda. So your own home. You can also foster and adopt if you're in rented accommodation, but it's got to be a place that is going to be your home forever. So social housing rather than private landlords, because we all know that, you know, private landlord can turn around at any time and say, you've got to leave here in 6 months or you know, I'm selling the house. You need financially to be stable. So, you know, not massive amount of savings. You haven't got to be a millionaire, but you've got to have a little bit put aside for a rainy day. And I think the most important thing to show that you've got a huge family network and friends to help you support bringing that child up.
And do you have to be in a relationship to adopt a child? You have to be married?
No, you can be single. You can be married. You can be living with someone. You can be the same sex couple. You can be, you know, it covers everything. Disabled, you can even foster and adopt if you've got a disability, as long as you can show that you've got that support around you. So No one's ruled out at all. Nobody. The assessments, I don't know your friend's circumstances, but you know, the assessments are stringent. But tell them never, ever to give up. If they've got a passion for adoption, you know, to carry on. Because the other thing is there is a lot of adoption agencies and there's also local authorities adoptions. And yeah. It may be that one is a lot more stringent than the other. You know, one may find a lot more fault than another. So if they're very, very passionate about it and they really, really want to do it, then they shouldn't give up.
Yeah. Do you know what? I actually think it was something to do with smoking.
Yeah. No, you can't smoke. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what it was. Yeah. And I know that one of them has been trying to give up because of that, and that was the reason. It was definitely like a lifestyle thing.
Yeah, lifestyle. You can't smoke. Like smoking isn't. You're not allowed to smoke. So that would be, but that would be something they could change, couldn't they?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, it was definitely one of them where it was definitely something that they could do,
commitment to doing that and changing their lifestyle. Then they're going to show commitment into the adoption, aren't they?
Exactly.
Once you manage to either foster or adopt a child, we've obviously talked about the differences between having a baby, fostering or adopting when the child is very young to somebody, a child that's 5, 6, 7, 8. Do they then provide, any form of counselling or sort of, support them if they have had a horrendous start to their life? What does that look like?
Yeah, there's a massive amount of support put in place if you need it, much more than there used to be. So most adoption agencies will have therapists, you know, that you can access at any time, art therapists, play therapists, systemic therapists, you name it, they've got them. So you would get a lot of support that you could access. I mean, there is so much to offer now. You know, I mean, I've seen how much it's come on over the last 27 years, but even one year to another, you get a lot more help, you know. So, it's there for them if they want to access it. You know, if they don't, they don't have to, but it's always offered to them.
And would you say that fostering is better suited to people who are already parents, or is it for anyone?
I don't think that I could say it's suited for those who are already parents. I think it depends what you want as a person.
Like,
for me, I actually do really enjoy and get quite a lot of fulfillment out of crisis work. So I like that beginning where it's crisis work, the intervention, the changing a child's life around. I also really love working alongside social workers and parents, you know, if we're trying to get them replaced back with their families, you know. I never make judgment on anyone, you know, I will just try to help them. So I like that side of it. So I'm very, you know, anyone that knows me fully will tell you I'm always busy, you know, like I'm always doing this, doing that. You know, I'm a hands-on person. So for me, fostering really suits me because it's very like crisis work and meetings and involvements and stuff like that. With adoption, it's a total different road. So with adoption, you're adopting that child, you're taking that child. Once you've adopted that child, really, everyone else steps back unless you need them. And then if you need them, you can access them. But a lot of adopters, you know, don't. They just want to get on with being a family, you know. I've waited so long for this child now. I just want to get on with being our little family. It really does depend on the person. To be a foster carer, you have to have lots of energy. That's number one. You have to be very, very flexible. You know, you can't think, well, if I've made that plan, that's definitely going to happen tomorrow, because, you know, within an hour everything might change. You have to be very passionate. You have to have a lot of love. You've got to be open-minded. There's so many qualities you need for fostering. Most of all, you need a big heart and a loving family to help you. Like, all my family have supported me within my fostering career, not just my own, birth children and my husband, but, you know, my mum, my sister, my cousin, yeah. Like everyone is very supportive in it. For adoption, it's totally different because for adoption, it's you're taking that child and then that child is yours forever. So there isn't ongoing work for you to be doing with that child, you know, apart from the normal things like getting them into nursery, getting them into schools, you know, and, you know, all the normal parenting things. But it's yeah. a lot of, within fostering, you get a lot of crisis work.
I was going to ask you, obviously, you've been doing this for such a long time, 27 years, and you've been with your partner, your new husband, got married last year, but you've been with him for 40 years, haven't you? How has fostering kind of impacted your relationship?
Well, it's just made us much stronger because we rely on each other. You know, he's my rock and I'm his rock. You know, we rely on each other. And, you know, we've been through so much together because each child that comes into our home, you know, not only do they learn masses from us, but we learn a hell of a lot about ourselves, you know, because they find your weaknesses. They know what buttons to push. They find your yeah. strengths, you know. So it's made us a lot stronger and we do really, really appreciate our time on our own, which isn't often. But we've, at the back of our garden during lockdown, we made right about like, it's got like a little fire pit and some wooden seats. And most nights we go down there with I have a gin and tonic, he has a beer, and we just sit there and look at the house and think how many people are in it and actually what's going on in there.
How many people are in it and how many people can't leave?
Yeah, so that's a little bit of sanctuary, to tell you the truth.
And what advice would you give to any families who are considering fostering, but they're worried about the impact that it's going to have on their family?
I'm not going to tell any of you that it's going to be, you know, all going to be singing and dancing and playing together. You know, it's not, you know, but how it does is it enriches your families so much, you know. It opens their minds to diversity, equality. You know, we've got all of this with racial tension at the moment. My children have been brought up very, very multicultural, and we discuss, you know, different cultures all the time and respecting each other. They've grown up with having to share, you know, the simple thing of sharing, but having to share their mum and dad, you know, which has been very hard for them at points growing up. But I remember one essay that Lydia wrote, I think she was about year 9 in secondary school, and I went to her parents' evening, and I think at the time, you know, I had two very difficult teenagers and I was tearing my hair out, and the English teacher said, "Oh, I loved the essay that your Lydia wrote." And I thought, I don't even know what essay it was. Didn't tell me. So I went, so she went, "Oh, haven't you read it?" I said, "No, I haven't." So she gave it to me and I cried my eyes out in front of the teacher, because, I mean, it was a long, long essay, but basically the bit that made me cry was, for every 100 negative things I can tell you about fostering, there's a million pure positive ones to replace them. And I think that about sums it up, really.
Wow. That's incredible. Wow. And kind of going on from what Georgia said, if anybody is listening and they want to do it, where's their starting point? What should they tap into?
Contact your local authority. So whoever you're under, whether you're under London Borough of Westminster or London Borough of Southwark, you know, contact your local authority and they will have well, it'd probably be on Zoom now, but they have they used to have evenings, but it'd be Zoom evenings on fostering applications. They will tell you whether they've got a shortage. I mean, there'd be some local authorities that won't have a shortage, and there'd be some that will have. There's a massive, massive crisis in this country at the moment. For teenage foster carers. I know you're all thinking, "Oh my God, why would I want to foster a teenager?" Listen to me now. I've got a 16-year-old teenage boy. who lives with me, who, you know, we do argue every day, but I argue with my own 16-year-old daughter every day. It makes no difference. All of these teenagers need is love, guidance and support. And so there are many couples out there or single people out there that I know would really be good at teenage fostering. So please pick up the phone and check it out. You can also contact Fostering Network. If you Google that, it'll come up. And then obviously the big, huge one, Barnardo's, which is a massive organisation who help in a lot of fields that have also, I know personally myself, I've got a real crisis trying to recruit new foster carers at the moment.
Oh, Debbie, you're such an amazing woman. I told you in my intro, I nailed it, didn't I?
What you mean?
Before we say bye, can you just quickly tell me about the wedding? Was it the best day of your life?
No, honestly, sorry, I'll get tears even thinking about it. It was the best day of my life, but I planned it within 3 months, and I tell you, it was a very community wedding. When we talk about it takes a village to save a child, but it took a village to save my wedding, because everybody in my community helped, and it was a very, very, it was very personal. It was a very personal wedding. It was beautiful. Absolutely. I got married in the church that I had all my 4 children christened in, so and the same vicar come back to marry me who christened all my 4 children.
Oh wow!
And I had my garden in my wedding in my garden, and used my home, which is such a massive part of the history of our family, to entertain the whole of the community and my family. It was a huge wedding.
Oh, that's so lovely. I really feel like we need to rack your brains for your favourite products, because if you fostered over 200 children and you've got 4 of your own, I feel like there's no one better placed to tell us what works.
It really isn't. So my number one top 5 parenting products is definitely the Doona Pram.
Yeah.
Doona. Now, please believe me, I can't, because I've got a bit of a fetish with prams. I can't tell you how many prams that I've had over the years. And no word, with my hand on my heart, I've got 5 prams in this house at the moment. So, you know, I've got a selection of prams because I do love a pram. But I do not know what I would do without my Doona Pram, because, you know, I'm always, at the moment, because we're in lockdown, but I'm always at hospitals, up and down escalators, on the underground, on the tube, on the... So it just is so easy. It's such an easy...
Debbie, it's George's favourite one as well. You're in the right company here.
Yeah.
Do you actually think sometimes whatever would I have done without it?
I know.
How did I cope without having my Doona Pram? But anyway, that's my number one. Number 2 is definitely the Dr. Brown's bottles, because I have to pick up a lot of children from special care units. So a lot of my babies are either prem or, you know, have gone through some kind of drug dependency. So bottles do really, really, really matter. And I'd highly recommend Dr. Brown's bottles, especially if your baby is quite small as well. Number 3 is definitely the snooze pods, which quite a few years. So that comes up and down the stairs, in and out of cupboards, changing my bedroom. So that's always come in use. And number 4, I actually, you know, do foster quite a lot of mixed race children. So I've always got the mixed leave-in conditioner from Mixed Chicks.
Mixed
Chicks, which is incredible for curly hair or for mixed race children. So that's fantastic.
Amazing.
And number 5, I've always got a big tub of coconut oil.
Good
on every skin that there is. So and very natural product. So I've used coconut oil for many, many, many years. So they're my 5 top products.
Wonderful. Thank you.
We also love asking our guests the best piece of advice that they have ever been given, or the piece of advice that they would give to a new mum.
Right. Well, I've often said this to many a new mum, and you know, keeping in mind, for me, this really works. So it's not going to work for everybody, because I do understand that everybody's different. But for me, I'm forever saying, don't change your whole life so a baby fits into that life. A baby should fit into your life. So don't start thinking, I've got to be home because it's 12 o'clock, the baby's got to sleep, or I've got to do this, because, you know, let the baby just naturally fit into your life. So go ahead with everything that you normally do, and the baby will love it. You know, the baby will love it, because they get into used to, I mean, imagine how busy my life is, you know.
Yes.
I've never had a routine with any of my children. You know, I just let them just fit into my life. You'll know as a parent when your baby cries and needs a bottle. You'll know when it needs changing, and you'll know when there's something wrong. So just go by listening to how they cry. It's a natural instinct, and everything will be fine, honestly. Don't stress out about things. I think, especially now, I think mums tend to stress out about so many things when, you know, I mean, for me, you've got every gadget in the world, haven't you, at the moment? I mean, yeah. I've never known babies to have so many gadgets around, you know. Don't stress about things, you know, that babies just want you, eye contact, singing, dancing, noise, friendships out. Yeah. Just do everything that you normally do, and everything else falls into place.
Love that.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
Listen, thank you so much for giving us your time today. You're an absolute superstar. I think what you've done with your life and the way you've given back is just admirable. Someone give her a medal. Someone give her a medal. Someone give her something.
Oh, thank you girls, I've really enjoyed
thank you.
It's been amazing. Thank you.
She's absolutely amazing. I mean, we don't know, you know, her exact age, but to have that that much energy, I mean, like we said at the beginning of the podcast, we're in our 30s, me slightly older than you, and I'm absolutely screwed at the end of the day. For her to just keep giving with all of that
love and
the things that, you know, the way she went into talking about how she loved to do crisis care as well, that takes a really special individual.
Yeah, no, it really does. And do you know what, I just keep thinking, imagine, like, you know, you're just laying on the sofa watching whatever you watch, and then you get a phone call, and in an hour you've got a 3-month baby in the house.
A 3-month old baby. Oh no.
Yeah, I mean, that's unbelievable how you can be that, you know, adaptable and flexible. I mean, I got hats off to her. I mean, it's incredible. But does it make you a little part of you think, oh, I could do that?
Do you know what? We were actually having the discussion today, because we recorded this a few days ago, and I saw my sister today, and I also saw my cousin. We were having a social distance kind of little gathering in her garden. It was lovely. First time I've seen them for 4 months. And we got onto the subject of this, and I said, there's a podcast out tomorrow. I did our podcast, chatted to Debbie, and we got to the nitty gritty of it. And there was a lot of what I said came out in terms of the fears around adopting or fostering a child that's not a baby. And I was really like fighting. I was fighting the fight, saying, you know, these kids just need somewhere to call home and a sanctuary and safety and love. And definitely takes a certain type of person to take it on. I wish I could. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, after chatting to her, I don't know. After chatting to her, I was like, wow. Like, I mean, I've an only child, so I was only the only child in our house. And then thinking about Lydia and Georgia and the rest of, you know, the rest of the family having had so many other kids, like, through their door. And I don't know, I just think there's something incredible about that. And in a way, that might be really nice for kids to grow up with. I don't know. I mean, James is probably like in the other room now, like texting me like, no, no, no. And every time there's a knock at the door, he's going to wonder who's going to arrive. But
I think you'd be an amazing foster mum, Georgia. You're one of the best mums I know. You're so chilled. You just take it in your stride.
Oh, I mean, I am chilled until I blow, and then I'm not chilled anymore.
We haven't seen that yet, though.
No, maybe I need to, rein that bit in.
But all the information there, if you're listening and you're thinking about becoming a foster mum, there's lots of information there, and obviously just go online and check out everything that Debbie said, because what an incredible thing to be able to say that you've done in your life.
Yeah, exactly, absolutely. So just moving away from chatting about fostering and adoption, we've both recently moved house.
and we both love buying house stuff. So this week, because we haven't really been buying any clothes to go anywhere, we thought we would talk about our like five favourite sort of home brands.
Yeah. Or just products for the home that we've been using.
Yeah. I'll kick it off, because today I had a video call with someone called Tash from Lick Home. So Lick Home is a new paint brand. I just found them on Instagram. I think they've grown quite quickly. And I paid £45 for this consultation. And I just showed her the three rooms that I need some inspiration for, just like colour-wise. And I sent her my Pinterest board after, just on WhatsApp, and like some photos of, you know, bits of the room. And like, if you want to keep any furniture, you're definitely keeping some, you can send her that too. And then she comes back with mood boards for each room. And I mean, for £45, I thought that was really, really, really good value.
That's amazing.
Because you'd think of like, an interior designer or a colour consultation, you'd think that'd be really expensive, but it wasn't. So yeah, I'd really, really recommend them.
Brilliant. Love that. I am going to talk about some amazing new pots and pans that we've got in the house. Basically, we never got anything for our wedding presents because we got married in Ibiza. So we said to all of our guests, look, don't buy us wedding gifts because you're buying the airfare and you're having to pay for the hotels in Ibiza. Oh, I really regret that now. I really wish I'd gone. It's my wedding list and it's from John Lewis. So we've just invested in some saucepans, frying pans from Robert Welch. They are amazing. I mean, I literally feel like, how have I lived this long without them? You know, I was making scrambled eggs before with this like shitty old saucepan from somewhere, that old frying pan that I got years ago, and it was like the eggs were sticking to it and I was having to spend ages cleaning it, and it's like they're like sliding off like you get in a fancy restaurant.
Do you know what? My mum has still got pots and pans from, I think, when she got married. Yeah. So, like, I mean, I don't know I can't even guess how many years that ago that is. She got married when she was 18, so it's a very, very long time ago.
Yeah, if you get some good ones, they can last, right?
Yeah, it really makes a difference. Zoe, are you going to get into cooking now? No.
Yes.
Long silence.
I'm going to get into the cooking. I'm actually doing a lot more. I'm just not filming it. Okay. Go.
Okay. So next up, I think pretty much every parent has a problem with storage. We moved to a smaller house than we were in before, so we are really struggling with like stuff everywhere. And we had some crazy, crazy, crazy quotes for like inbuilt wardrobes and cupboards and stuff, like mental, thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds. And then again, I came across this company on Instagram. They're called DIY Alcove Cabinets. And you just send them all your measurements, what you want, and then they come back with a design, and then they build it all and then deliver it. And so then you have to install it, or they can get someone to install it. But it was so much cheaper than like the other places. And the quality is really, really good. I mean, I'm really so good. Like literally, they just make it for whatever area you've got. So another one I really recommend.
Amazing, love that. Now this isn't exactly for me and you, Georgia, but I am absolutely obsessed with this. It was a gift from the guys at Cardboard Magic, and it's basically it's an ice cream van that you have to build from cardboard for the kids. So once you build it, it's
cool.
Huge. You might have seen it on my Instagram this week. Once you put it together, they then paint it or colour it in. And I'm not joking, my kids were doing it for, I reckon, about 4 hours. They were playing in the garden, they were going away to the sandpit, they were coming back to it, they were like playing inside it, they bought the other bits of the ice cream stuff that we had from another toy, and they were like, how much for an ice cream? And they were role playing inside it. It's amazing. It's 100% recyclable, it's 100% Irish. It's really not, it's about 40 quid, I think, and they'll send it to you. Hours of fun for the kids, so yeah.
That's brilliant.
Stuff. Yeah. And I'm just going to jump in again for product number five. I found these guys on Instagram just randomly scrolling through bedding. Dusk.com, luxury bedding for less. There was a massive sale on when I bought our sheets. I'm obsessed with getting into like the perfect bed, you know, like the hotel bed.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to create it. But I think I got like a full set, 4 pillowcases, a fitted sheet and a duvet cover. And I think it was about like 70 quid in total.
Yeah, that's really good. Actually, do you know what, at the moment? Yeah, I was going to say, at the moment, there's loads of really good sales on. I saw the White Company had a sale on, and I always get sheets. I would never pay full price, I don't think, because they're always going to have a sale, or you can go to Bicester.
Yeah,
get them there.
Very nice. Right, that's it from us. We're going to be back on Tuesday with another podcast, and we're really excited about this one. It's going to be a good one. Have a nice weekend. George, you doing anything nice?
Oh, it's Gigi's birthday.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, my God,
it's
sorry. Gigi's birthday this weekend.
Yeah, no, I mean, I forgot as well.
Oh, yeah, you're
I was like, no, we're not. And then I literally looked over in the corner of the room and I've been doing some rapping and I was like, oh, yeah, it's Gigi's birthday. we're splitting her birthday into 2 days. So we'll have James's family Saturday and my family Sunday. So, yeah. Amazing. And it's Father's Day. It's Father's Day.
Oh, my God, do
everyone.
Not forget it's Father's Day. Yeah,
don't
exactly.
forget.
And as always, we'd love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. And if you do want to cast your eyes back on other episodes, there's about 80 in the bank there, so you can keep listening to them all day long.
Yes, you can. There's loads. And please do drop us a message at Made by Mummers or at Zoe Hardman.
And do please... Mummers, which is our promo.
Babe by Mummers. Can you imagine? That'll be us in 10 years' time.
Telling on the side of the street somewhere. Babe by Mummers, remember?
Oh, gosh. And please do keep tagging us in your stories when you're listening. Don't tag us when you're listening to Babe by Mummers, though, because that would be awkward.
Have a lovely weekend. See you.
See you Tuesday.
Bye, 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 bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.